Jennifer Hudson, the song that they sang when he walked down the hallway for the Jennifer Hudson show in my head. Do y'all know I had in my head the whole movie.
Aaron Pierre, that's Mufasa.
Oh, that's what they said. Okay.
Yeah. And then someone did a paint over where it looks like the 2D version of Mufasa walking down. It's so stupid.
My favorite of those. My thing is, like, there has to be actors who genuinely hate walking down that tunnel.
Oh, you can tell.
Yeah, it's got it. But I will say my favorites have been Aaron Pierre, and normally Anthony Mackie I like, but now that he's gotten like older, he just gives no fucks, and like he just he is so happy when he walks down that, when he dances down that aisle. He's just so happy. I'm like, good for you, bro.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to take this moment. I'm going to take this moment.
Yo, him, Drewski, Kevin Hart was really good. There's been some solid ones. There's been some solids.
What a thing to do.
Yeah. I hope whoever's idea that was gets credit for all those social media posts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they get a lot of clips out of that. Is this the cold open?
Yeah, right?
I mean, we're talking about Aaron, Pierre, and Mufasa.
I had nothing to add, so I didn't know. But yeah.
No, Bray, you should take a second, Bray, to just look at it right now, because I don't think you know, but we're about to review the movie Mufasa, and Aaron Pierre is Mufasa.
Is Mufasa.
I don't know if you knew that.
Right.
You know?
You're talking about Mufasa, the Lion King?
Oh, my God.
What? No, I was just trying to... I just need to clarify it.
Wait, is that the name of the movie? It's just called Mufasa, right?
It's called Mufasa, and then there's got to be a sub.
Oh, my gosh. Why is it Mufasa, the Lion King?
Yeah, I was trying to clarify if you were... I didn't know if you were talking about, I don't know, like the guy, you know, at the barbershop, or if you were talking about Mufasa, the Lion King.
Wait, who was at the barbershop?
Mufasa at the barbershop?
Wait, are y'all just saying a random black name that works at a barbershop? Are y'all legit just saying a random black?
Yeah, no, he worked at the cut stop.
Mm-hmm.
The cut stop.
There is no barbershop in America called Barber Stop.
I said cut stop. It's the cut stop.
Nope.
It's where you stop and you get the cut.
That don't make
Mufasa
no sense.
Mufasa work over there. Yeah. I've actually met Mufasa.
Also,
I met him.
Yeah, at my when I visit my family in Mississippi, that there's this Black Baptist church and there's this dude Mufasa. He's on the keys. So I didn't know if you were talking about him or Mufasa the Lion King.
First off. No. I'm gonna tell you this right now. When this credit rolls, it says Mufasa. I got it up right now, okay? It says Mufasa. It don't say Mufasa the Lion King on the screen.
Mufasa the Lion King.
That's so weird. This movie, it just generally just says Mufasa. But then when you Google it, it says Mufasa the Lion King. Like,
that's
why?
That's the official title.
But it's not in the movie. The movie says Mufasa.
Isn't it in the movie?
I think it's in the title card.
It's in one of the credits.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Drum Milligan.
Black men can't jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Zulu speakers, forgive me, but Nats Ingonyama Bakiti. Thank you.
Nice.
All right.
What does that mean?
It means here comes a lion.
is
what it means. That's how the movie
there
starts.
You go.
And that's how they worked it into this.
All right.
Great.
You know?
I do. And for those who don't know, We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
You're right. We do all those things.
You know, mm-hmm. there's three of us. We have three distinct voices. The voice that you're listening to now, that sounds like a prince who was meant to be, but then somebody stole his kingdom.
Okay.
Oh, you went for the bad guy. Well, you went for the, wow, okay. That all was, right. That took a turn. That wasn't expecting that. Oh, wow. That was not expecting that one.
You, the murderer? The voice of a murderer? Is that what
okay. All right.
That's the voice of Jonathan.
That's the voice you want to, okay. He's claiming that voice. This is the voice of Gerard Milligan.
Mm-hmm.
And this voice, who's like probably like a bumbling, like just sort of like a member
you
of probably like a tandem.
Nah, you wait, definitely Rafiki. No. What's the bird's name? Zazu.
Zazu.
Yeah, you definitely got Black Zazu.
I wasn't sure. The bumbling was going to end with bird that flaps around and has a, I was going to do Zazu, but then midway through, the reason I didn't say anything, because I was like, oh, but maybe I'm like one of Timon or Pumbaa. Like maybe I'm one of them.
Maybe.
Nah, you Zazu. You Zazu. Yeah, okay, you got Zazu. Right. Zazu's also more fun, I feel like.
Zazu was ready to take on the lions in this in a way that I was like, this is funny to me. Like, it does tickle me, but mm-hmm. I was like, really? Zazu?
Yeah, I think you got good
this
Zazu.
This don't feel
vibes.
Right for the character. This don't even feel like the character.
Very true.
I've service Zazu. Out of Africa, I wouldn't hang about. That's Zazu.
Yeah.
He ain't about to take on the lions.
But he tries to help them with the hyenas in the first movie, and he gets his in a little
okay, maybe that's
lava thing, and he gets shot out into the sky.
Okay, all right. I just forgot that.
Guys, we are reviewing Mufasa the Lion King. Okay, that's the movie we will get into today. It, of course, was directed by Barry Jenkins. Now, technically Barry Jenkins, is he? I guess he's technically not an Academy Award winner. Moonlight won Best Picture, but
no,
he
would have gotten it,
director.
Right? Don't no, producers so, and director so, get it for when it's Best Picture?
No,
Best Picture goes to producer. Oh, there's never been. I mean, usually the director will accept the award normally, but the award is for the producer. Director gets Best Director. So Best Picture
Wait,
goes
so
to the producer.
But did he not produce Moonlight?
I mean,
I'm checking it
Bradley
out.
Bradley
right
Cooper
now.
Has five Best Picture nominations and or wins. I can't actually remember.
He
now.
Is an Academy Award winner. He is an Academy Award winner because Moonlight won Best Adapted Screenplay and he was credited. Co-shared credit
right.
with mm-hmm. Tara.
There has
so
never
he
been
is Academy Award winner,
a black
but not for best
director, man or woman, to ever win Best Director.
Best That's Director, right. Best Director,
right. Best Director.
We have yeah. never,
still.
Never,
why does that never, feel? Why does that feel crazy?
Here's why it feels crazy. It's because you have movies like 12 Years a Slave mm-hmm. and Moonlight that have won Best yeah. Picture.
Mm-hmm.
But have not won Best Director.
Yeah, because they ain't giving them nigga that award.
Because also
they're giving the white man that gave the money. Oh, we'll give yeah. oh good
or
for
white
you
woman.
For giving them the money. Or white woman. You're right. You're right.
Woman.
I was being sexist.
Yep. Or white woman.
It's probably mostly white men, right?
it's only one white woman has won
yeah,
best
and it's only,
director.
Yeah, it's one white woman and one,
and one Asian
woman.
Woman.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean for
couple
for
Latino men
best
though.
Picture. Right for producing
Latino
oh yeah oh best picture yeah best picture is different
yeah I mean I get I think the wait Campion won for what
who won
Gene Campion oh for The Piano
Power of the Dog
oh she won best director for Power of the Dog that's wild
we're talking to producer Skylar just so y'all know that's what this is
Power of the Dog 2021 Let me look at
that. Okay, but my question was, Barry Jenkins is back at it again because he did the first live action one?
He did not do the first live action one. The first live action Lion King, the first action Lion King was John Favreau.
What?
Yeah, John Favreau. Yo, John Favreau, to be low key, when you think about the achievements, yeah, when you think about the achievements he's made in film, it's like, but also I get so annoyed when you watch the movies that made us, they talk about John Favreau and how he got his start, and you're like, wait, what? Like, the leaps and bounds, like watching that series, how it was consistently like white men in particular. We never did this. We never did this before. We had no credit for that. They just let us do this. It was just so much stuff where I'm like, yo, y'all do realize in watching this, a person of color has never got this type of opportunity ever.
Yeah. And like when you hear like the Robert Townsends and Keenan Ivory Wayne, like their kind of origin story, it's like, it's so aspirational, but it is not heralded in the same way. And it's so aspirational. It's like, it is like, unbelievable when you think about the stuff that they did and accomplished and how they've influenced, you know, a generation plus of black filmmaking, and yet ridiculous.
Mufasa cost $200 million to make.
Made a bill.
No, it did not.
But it was a sleeper. It was a sleeper, though.
But it did make $721 million worldwide, which is a lot of money.
It was close, and people tried to drag it because the first 2 weeks weren't great. But
its
opening
weekend was $35 million domestic, which is
People was not going.
Nope.
But word of mouth helped then, right? Like that means like people saw it, liked it, and then told people to go see
it. I think people liked it more than...
And TikTok helped it because I hadn't seen this movie until the podcast, but I knew the song "Anything But My Brother." Like that was all over TikTok. I always wanted a brother.
I didn't want to like it. You know what I mean? Like brother. Like a minute into it, I was like, I don't think I like even how they saying brother. Like I'm just was upset.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. The accents were all over the place in this movie.
I was like mad, but I was like, this is
catchy.
I rock with it.
They were trying to match the original, right? Like I feel like they were trying to match the accents from the original, kind of.
Original first from the live action film,
the
right?
1994.
But I don't remember. Like I don't remember Jonathan Taylor Thomas having. He didn't put on.
No, he's Simba, but that he's not in the movie.
Right. Wait. Right. Wait. What do you mean?
Yeah,
what
Simba's
do you mean?
Not in the movie.
But when
I'm
you
talking
say
about
to match the accents,
I'm talking about Scar. I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, Scar
Zazu.
For sure. They were like these people are British, and
Rafiki.
Zazu and Rafiki. Yeah, that made sense. But I'm talking about the non-African-American. The non-African slash American actors that played African lions and had African accents. Like, it was, like, confusing.
It was wild.
It felt like it was, like, y'all didn't need to do this, did you? Right?
Yeah.
Or maybe these people, that just was their accents, and everybody was just using their genuine accent, and it was, like, this feels confusing because...
I think there was some of that, too.
Okay, sure. Which is all power to you.
Well, that's the thing is I think they were trying to match. They were trying to match some of the accents to keep the consistency of the prequel.
Mm.
But then the other live action Lion King, I think, didn't care about the accents. And they were just like, we're doing a whole new thing. Yeah. So it was like this mixture of like, because this movie is both in the present and the past. Or I'm saying the present, but you know, the present. Of the
no,
life.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's in the present. There's a present and then it goes to the past.
Yeah.
What was Donald Glover doing? That's my first question. What was he doing?
Okay. Before we get into that, I mean, there's a lot of, so this movie made $721 million. It has a 56% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is rotten. But the popcorn meter is 89%.
Okay. This tracks for me. I think that, and I think it's correct. Like, I think critics should have done what they did. and I think people just watching it should have also done what they did. I think this is exactly correct.
And yes, as we said, it stars Aaron Pierre as Mufasa. Kelvin Harrison Jr. plays Taka, aka Scar.
Oh,
Kelvin
crushed.
And then you have Tiffany Boone plays Sarabi. Blue Ivy Carter plays Kiara, who's Simba's daughter. Mads Mikkelsen is the bad guy, Kiros. And then, you know, you got the same, you got the
don't
people for, from
don't
the
forget
bad.
Don't forget the man himself, the black voice over King.
Is that Keith David?
Yeah.
I was like, is that actually?
Oh, yeah. John Connie, who played Rafiki, is he from the original?
Keith David, baby.
No, he wasn't in the original, but he was in the first movie.
Got it.
Yeah, Keith David. That was great. That was a great little.
Yeah, and then of course you got, you know, Beyonce and Donald Glover back, and Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner.
Tandy Newton. Tandy Newton was in here.
Oh, yeah, who did Tandy play?
She played the mom.
The mom of Taka.
Yeah.
She was great too. A great performance.
Yeah.
Anything for my brother.
Okay. I think that we've done everything. For those of you who've never listened before, we do spoil the movie. I mean, of course, this is Mufasa.
There's a couple things to spoil.
It's a prequel. It's a prequel.
What do you mean? I know how this movie ends. The nigga becomes king.
There's some plot, like how I know Scar, it happens.
I know Scar get the scar. Going into this movie, I knew two things was going to happen. They was going to be friends and then not friends. Scar was going to get his scar.
I gotta tell you, I didn't know any of this. Well, of course I didn't know this backstory because it didn't exist before this. But I was confused. I was like, when are we going to meet? When are we going to meet Scar, Mufasa's brother? And then it took me, Tessa
you
immediately was like,
Taka
I think that's Scar.
Okay.
And I was like,
no way.
I was like, I literally was like, how could that be Scar? Because they're actual brothers. And then I realized, oh, I guess they're not. And this movie is just rewriting that, which is fine.
You didn't see the trailers, though? You
didn't? No, I didn't watch the
trailer. I actually didn't see a trailer for this either. I don't remember it.
I saw the trailer and was mad immediately. I'll just say that. Before we even get into talking about it more. I was mad at the trailer.
This podcast is sponsored by Prize Picks. I know you're asking yourself, what's Prize Picks? But let me tell you, Prize Picks is the best place to turn sports knowledge into some cash money. It's got millions of members. You can cash in on the basketball playoffs, which are starting very soon, with Prize Picks. Okay, don't miss your chance. You can add your favorite players and you can decide whether it's points or rebounds or assists, who's going to get more or less for your shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash today. Now, the playoff, you might have some hot takes. This is where you can make your lineup on Prize Picks. You can enter Takes 2 Ticket Sweepstakes, which could get you and a plus one, a VIP trip to the ship. Prize Picks is the best place to win cash while watching sports. Join millions of users and sign up today. By the way, every Tuesday, Prize Picks will discount several projections on the board, usually by 15 to 25%. Also, Friday is Flex Friday. If you opt in, tap that check box in your lineup builder, you're eligible for a protected play. That means your play is protected. You get your net losses back in promo funds up to your promo limit as soon as the lineup settles. Now, like I said, basketball playoffs are here. You know, I love watching Steph Curry. Do I think he's going to score more points? You bet I do. How about Giannis? Is he going to get more rebounds? You bet he is. Okay, this is where you can make your money. Download the app today. Use code Hollywood to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Hollywood to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game. All right. Well, anywho, let's get into it. Who wants to
start? James wants to go first.
Yeah, I'll start. Okay.
I never heard this before.
All right. I've started plenty of times.
He wants to start, though. He wants to start.
This film is dedicated to James Earl Jones.
Okay, but let me, I'll just say, and I'll be as quick as I can. I didn't want this movie to exist.
Sure.
Okay. When they announced it, I was like, I guess I'll watch it. But then I saw the trailer and they were like, guess what? this one's an orphan. I was like, all right, I don't want this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't sign up for this. I'm furious. And it was making me mad to think that they were introducing this concept that Mufasa, you know, was dancing in Scar's playground and then becomes king, blah, 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 whatever. I think this has a lot of complicated messaging when it comes to royal blood and, you know, all of that stuff. Like what even, I don't know what they want me to think by the end of this, because I agree with Mufasa, no kings, but no, actually he is the king. And then you want me to believe that he goes on to say that the one true king is Simba after all the shit that he went through in this movie. That's upsetting, and I'm still mad about it right now. That being said, as a writing exercise, I thought it was fun. I liked the kind of ways that they brought in stuff, you know, like all the different little nods. I thought was cool, and thinking about like The Lion King has two sequels already. The live action, the animated Lion King has two sequels already. But they chose to do.
Isn't one of them like 2.5 or something?
Yes, which this has a little bit of, because it's Timon and Pumbaa like telling the story from their perspective. So we keep cutting back to them kind of talking.
They basically did a Rosencrantz type situation.
Basically did that. And so I do think it's interesting that, like, you know, in order to have a sequel to their live action Lion King, they also needed to incorporate Timon and Pumbaa, like for no reason other than like we like those characters, and so I thought that was interesting, but I don't think it was necessary. I think if we would have dropped into like just like kind of like an origin story, I think we would have been able to spend time with some of the moments that we brushed over that were also important to the story. But I'm mad that they did this to me, but I had more fun than I thought I was going to. So that's my initial.
Dope.
You want to go? You want me to go, Bray?
Sure, I can go. Okay. Look, I got to be honest with you. My expectations for this movie were pretty freaking low. Especially because like I really did not like the CGI remake of The Lion King. I refuse to call it live action. And I just thought it was soulless. And then when I heard they were making this, I was just like, how dare you? How dare you? Nobody asked for this. Nobody wants this. And then when the movie started, I was like, I freaking hate this CGI. I really do. And this isn't like, I'm like, the people who do this, I know they're artists in their own rights and it's like a hard thing to do, but I just, maybe I'm an old man. What? Here's the thing. Am I? Because we went from 2D animation to computer animation, but I still like some computer animation. Like I'll like a Pixar, is all computer animation, all that stuff. You know, I don't need things to be 2D.
Kat walked in for a second while I was watching and said, I don't like seeing these lions singing like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's in line with what you're talking about.
It's the uncanny valley. You know what I mean?
It's the uncanny valley of it. It's just like the movement. It just like doesn't feel right. I don't like it. I don't like it. That being said, by the time we got to maybe closer to the end of this movie, I was like, this is a pretty good story. It's honestly not bad. This movie was not bad. It wasn't bad.
Not bad.
It wasn't bad.
Certainly
because
not bad.
We saw Moana 2, and I personally think Moana 2 was bad. This movie, I was like, movie's not bad. Now, are there problems with it? Of course. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into them. But I thought the voice acting for a lot of it was good. I like Aaron Pierre. I thought Calvin Harrison Jr., I could not believe he was voicing Taka. I was just like, it doesn't sound like him. And then especially when he like, even though it kind of didn't really make sense, but when he all of a sudden was like, now I am Scar. And he kind of changed his voice.
And now I was Scar.
I was like, dude, he said like, I don't know. Like I was impressed. Like, I just thought he did a really great Scar impression, like in a way that didn't feel, you know, like so put on or fake. I just couldn't believe it was him. So I thought he did an incredible job. Yeah, like we said, Thandi Newton was great. And, you know, Tiffany Boone, who was Sarabi. So anyway, I thought people did good. Zazu was fun. So yeah, there were some stuff I didn't like, but I don't know. I have to say, man, if kids like this, if kids can watch the CGI and like kind of like it, you know, like, I don't know, like, yeah, this is a good movie for kids. Yeah.
Yeah. When the movie first started, and they were doing like the close-up shots of like the lions running.
Oh God!
And I was like, "Why is this angle?" I remember thinking out loud,
like it was like a GoPro angle.
Yeah,
kind of.
I was like, "What's happening?"
Yeah,
I remember watching this movie, and let me tell you why I did enjoy this movie. Yeah. But it was a conscious decision, and it happened 5 minutes into the movie. I remember thinking when I was watching this, "Why did Barry Jenkins do this movie?" And yeah. Then I remembered that the week before we recorded this. Is that it was announced that he is directing Zendaya in a biopic. And I was like, that's exactly why he did this goddamn movie. I was like, you know what? He did his job. And then the moment I had that thought and was like, that's why he made this movie, everything changed. I was like, you know what? This is fun. I agree with both of you. I think the voice cast is great. I actually have trouble with the story because I do think Scar is one of our best villains. So to see the big fallout from Scar being that like, a woman he just met or a lion he just met doesn't like him. I was like, Scar's too. My thing is, he is too smart, too calculating of a character to have that happen. And I was like, all right, this feels also feels belittling.
It defangs him. It removes his teeth to this whole movie does that. It's really frustrating. Sorry, I had to.
And to be clear, I agree. When I'm saying I think the story is good, I mean like as a standalone movie.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
The effect that it has on the actual lie, like when you think about the history of it, it doesn't make any sense, and I don't like it. But honestly,
as a movie,
sure. If you're not really thinking about it being like this is where, like here's where he's going to go, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I it was so that part was so weird, especially because I watched not too long ago, I watched Transformers 1. Which was like the Brian Tyree, Chris Hemsworth prequel. And the way, and it still was abrupt how Megatron becomes Megatron, but they set up very early on why he's about to like go down this dark path. Like you, from the moment you see him, you're like, oh, he's almost too radical from like his opening scene. Whereas this one, I get that he's supposed to be a coward, but everything up to this, he like, also Mufasa was always helping him. And like, it just, if anything, be mad at her. You know what I'm saying? It's like my man literally at one point goes, he heard Mufasa lying for him the whole time. And every time Mufasa's like, no, it wasn't me. It was him. It was you. Like your man is trying, he got your back the whole time. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Really
be mad at her, not your boy. So I wasn't a big fan of that, but I will say it was really fun. I like the lion on lion fighting. I thought that was pretty creative. Yeah, Malele turning into Pride Rock, even though no one said I now call this Pride Rock. No one did it. I thought they just ended with it being called Malele. I was like, what? Also, why is it called Malele and not Pride Rock? Like, what?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
But why?
Malele was just invented for this movie, right?
I think that
wasn't a thing before, wasn't it?
But I'm like, why is it? The place is called Pride Rock. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I am very curious on how you direct a movie that is just, because most likely, and James, you probably, yeah, but what both of y'all do with this is like, you know, when it comes to these animated features, it usually has two directors for the most part, but this isn't considered animated though, right? Like this isn't considered the same as like a Pixar or a DreamWorks film. This is, but it's not live action. It's photorealism. Is that what this, I don't know what this is called, but.
Well, do they have, Is there motion capture going on with this?
I don't think so.
That's a great question.
I don't know.
Oh, I wonder if they do have. I mean, it's not these people. Like Beyonce's not walking around.
No, certainly not. That's a great question. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Don't worry, Bray. I check on it. Cause anything for my brother.
yeah, so
I mean according to the Google AI, they say that they did do some kind of mocap.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe some facial stuff, you know?
Like, I need to be honest before we start. While I did enjoy this movie, I instantly forgot it. So as we go through this movie,
you don't remember any of it.
I am desperately trying to figure out how the movie opened.
Well, it opens in the present. Yeah, it opens with
with the new family because they're telling a story. Simba, yeah, it opens with
Simba's
Simba.
Older.
Got it.
And they have a daughter. I don't know. Beyonce's there. Beyonce.
Oh, we don't know what she's doing yet. We don't know what she's doing yet, right? Isn't that the whole thing?
Yeah, we don't know. It's a secret what's happening. We don't know why they're doing this trek, why they're leaving, what's going on. But Timon and Pumbaa have to watch the baby while Simba goes off.
Away. Yeah, and Simba is away. And then basically we just get it. I mean, whatever. There's some stuff that happens and Timon and Pumbaa make cracking jokes.
The jokes
but basically
are funny.
We're just getting. Yeah.
I'll say about them and because we may not talk about them again because the way we cut back to them is sort of kind of it doesn't really do anything.
I don't love it.
But
to be honest.
It's so meta though, also. Like the number of like meta comments they were making was like, okay, this is okay.
I didn't like it.
You can't do it every time. I mean, you can't. They're like talking about the musical. They're talking about how audiences perceive them. It's like there were so many meta references and ways that they made the meta references that it was just like, all right, what?
Yeah.
At the end, they're like, we have some notes.
It just took me fully out.
Yeah, and then they were like, almost like they were complaining about the movie. It was like, wait, were you complaining about the remake of Lion King? You know what I mean?
Yes. Directly calling out like what is weird about what's happening, you know? And like every time we cut back to them, they're saying, why aren't we in the story? Which is calling out that thing that I was talking about before of like why they felt a need to even have them in this story. And like,
why?
What? What's going on?
Why? No, it felt so ham-fisted. It was like, it was so shoehorned in and I didn't quite understand. Like we didn't need it. Who was it for?
Was for children, right?
But the jokes were
jokes. Yeah, the jokes are for adults that remember the 2D movie.
Because exactly.
It was also making jokes like that. Like
I just felt like the vast majority of the jokes were not for children.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So and then I think maybe they just felt like, well, we don't have enough like because Timon and Pumbaa aren't in this and like. In the characters of the Mufasa story, there's actually not a lot of, there isn't like a, like it's just Zazu. So Zazu's doing a lot of heavy lifting of like, I'm the community.
But they're making all of this up. It's like, why couldn't there be?
Have been a
or even
thing.
Like the hyenas, we meet them earlier and there's some fun happening with them. You know, like literally anything could have happened.
I don't understand why the hyenas weren't in
what?
This.
Yeah. Why?
That would have been an interesting thing.
The turn from Taka in the Scar, we have to get to because I'm like,
well, I mean,
it is.
It's the end of the movie, but yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, anyway, I mean, okay. So I agree. At the Timon and Pumbaa color commentary, I don't know. There's a part of me that understands why they did it, but there's another part of me that was like, we didn't need it, and I didn't like it, and it kind of just felt like, hey, we want to get Seth Rogen in. Billy Eichner back in this. All right. Okay. And so the story of Mufasa starts with he's there with his... Here's the thing. Here's how lost I was. When they showed Mufasa's father and mother, I thought Mufasa's father was the king. I didn't even clock that he wasn't the king until way later into the movie.
Because we didn't know Mufasa wasn't destined to be a king. Like nowhere in the history of Lion King has it ever been said, oh, he wasn't the rightful king.
He wasn't even the king.
Like, how will we know that?
So they're talking about Malele. I literally thought when they were talking about Malele that they were talking about the kingdom that he owns. Yeah. you know? Mm. And he's like, you're going to be the king of Malele. And I was like, oh, Malele. I literally turned to Tessa and I was like, oh, Malele, did they ever name it before? And she was like, I don't think so. And I was like, that's fun. They're just naming it now. Okay. This is Malele. Great. I was like, is that a real place? And she's like, I don't think so. And I was like, yeah, I've never heard of this before. Anyway, but you know, you have this very kind of sweet moment with Mufasa as a cub and his parents. And then a flood comes.
I liked this. This sequence was wild.
I will say this. Yeah. I do feel like there were certain moments of this that was a callback to, oh no, when Mufasa gets like stampeded.
They
later
did a
on.
Bunch of stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why'd y'all do that? Why'd y'all do that to that little lung? Also, this is not funny. But I'm not going to lie to you. When they did the three-way cutaway between looking at like Mufasa, his dad and his mom, and you see the elephant,
and then
you see the water, and all of a sudden his mom's face does the little zoom in, and little Mufasa launches in the goddamn. And I was like, why they launch that little leg?
Yeah, I didn't even quite understand how he launched that.
I
far,
didn't either.
Yeah.
I was like what whoa. Just happened? Did the elephant hit him? Like, what happened?
No, it's just that it hit the dam, and then he flipped in the air because of it. I was on the edge of my seat during this whole sequence, and I was like, this keeps happening to Mufasa. Mufasa keeps finding himself in a ravine, and certain death is right in front of him.
Just every time, man. Good God. When that little dude launched in the air, man. Also, I will say, the beauty of this opening scene is we saw how beautiful the parents were. This is the reverse Disney movie where the dad dies and mom lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And we don't even know that. We think everybody's gone. We think they're all gone, right? Don't we think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were dead. Either of them were dead.
I didn't think any of them were dead.
No, I just thought he was lost.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess
that is the story.
But then also,
I thought he was lost.
So let me
and
say,
again,
can I?
Oh. I thought he was the king. Sorry, go ahead. I did. I thought the story was about the fact that I thought the story was going to be like, oh, he forgot that he was the king and then he'll remember again.
It's the Lion King.
And then
it
was
again.
Like, no. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Anyway.
Well, so this next bit, because the next thing we see is Taka finding him as they're floating. And the first thing that happens is Taka's like, hey, man, I got a secret.
This is insane.
No, but even before that, James,
okay, what,
when he
before.
Saves him, he hits him with the long live. Remember, like, he didn't say it, but when he saved him.
This is the part I'm talking about. This is before that. And I appreciated that they did that. But he goes, I got a secret. And you're like, oh, what's the secret? And then he's like, you're about to get eaten.
You're going to die.
When I saw the trailers, I was like,
was that
really?
The trailer?
No. But what was in the trailer was the earnest, like, I love you, you're my friend, like, brother type stuff. And it made me mad that a good kid was about to somehow turn evil. Like, somebody...
right.
But his first line is, I have a secret, you about to die. And I was like, okay, thank you. I can still hate this little guy. I can still hate this line for this evil ass secret.
It was crazy.
And then afterwards, he's like, "I saved you," and it's like,
but then
he
does save him.
What do you mean?
I mean,
but to Daraz's point, he did
the long live the king.
He does it like four times in the movie. Probably.
Yes, too
also,
many
I
times.
Wish,
frankly,
I wish though that he was like good and turned evil. You know what I mean? I wish it was like one of those things where you could see it.
I wish
he was Frankenstein. I do. I wish you had opportunity to show
it. I mean,
it
kind of was that, though. He was like, he wasn't bad. He was just kind of like a little,
tried to do it while also kind of introducing like that he potentially has sociopathic tendencies. he's good, but also like, but also, you know. But
well,
also,
it's also,
you
know. Also his dad was a real...
I liked that
POS.
Too. I liked that too. I did
that
like that
kind of,
stuff.
Yeah. And his dad, I think at one point his dad literally says, deceit is a quality of a great king.
The way this came back was also nice. When he said it, I was like, I don't like you. I'm like you. I don't like what this is doing to this little boy. But then when it came back, that worked for me also. It worked like in a nice way.
The dad was going to eat Mufasa, little Mufasa. He said, "You're a stray. Strays are gross and disgusting. I'm going to eat you." And then his wife was like, "Let him prove himself or something." And then like he was like, "I'm the fastest." And then they decided to do this race. And he was like, "Okay, great. If you win this race, I won't eat you."
This one I started to get upset again. So I was they had me on board with Lil Scar. Mm-hmm. But then when they do this race and he could have beat Mufasa and chose not to because his little ass wanted a brother.
I love it.
With them doe eyes.
I loved it.
Well, yes, at this point.
Couldn't believe they were doing this to me.
I loved it. Tessa was like, "Well, this is definitely Scar." And when I was realizing this, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, this makes Scar way more sympathetic. He is supposed to be king.
Yeah.
Like I thought that
you thought he was supposed to be jealous.
Was Scar
you thought that Scar was the runt who was not going to be king and Mufasa was firstborn or was the bigger whatever and was going to be king. Because that is the thing that we build in our minds because they don't go into it at all. He's just the brother who wanted to be king and is not king.
Does he say big brother or little brother?
He just says brother. I mean, I actually like that because to me, the thing about it is it does to me a better job than what Thor did with Loki and Thor. Whereas in this movie,
yes,
Taka is supposed to be king, but also Mufasa knows he's supposed to be king and is actively trying to help. And the only reason that Mufasa is good at anything he does is because Taka's dad was like, "This dude has to be with the women." So like, we don't see any of those cool traits until he is learning from the lionesses, you know?
And just know that when I say I don't like this, I mean, why are you doing this to me and my memory of this movie and my understanding of Scar? And nothing to do with whether or not it's good or bad, right? Because it was good. It really took me on a journey that I'm frustrated, that I'm mad that I had to experience. I'm mad that they put me through this with that little boy. All that little boy wanted was a brother. And he sang the song you've been singing this whole time. And it was so moving.
It's such a beautiful song.
All he wanted was a brother. And he started slowing down. Oh, I'm so upset. I'm so mad.
Because technically, he saved, like he said, at this point, he saved his life twice. Two times.
Twice, because they would have eaten him. He would have been eaten, and that would have been it.
And the beautiful thing, too, is that his mom goes, like, literally, you know, when his dad is berating Taka, his mom goes, "Good job." And I'm like, yes, he's a good dude.
Frankenstein, the man. That too was like, oh, that was another kind of jab because, yeah, he's good. He's learned, you know, how to be, he's learned empathy and stuff like that. And so it was just like, oh, man.
You know, this movie basically, honestly, now I'm thinking about it, is just a movie saying men ain't shit. Because I'm thinking about it right now. It's like Taka's mom is like, "No, I got to raise this other little kid." Taka's mom also was like, "I taught my son how to be good." The only issue that is happening is Taka's dad. Taka's dad is like, "Well, he got to be with the women. Oh, the women are the ones who hunt. You can't hang with us." At one point, he literally goes, "They do that. It's so much power in doing nothing." And Taka goes, "Watching you sleep, bro?" Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It is an indictment of like toxic masculinity for sure. And honestly, if I can twist my brain to think about it as like, that's all they were trying to, that's what they were trying to do for the 2 hours or however long the movie is, then I can appreciate it even more for sure. Because like they were very against the movie, at least seemingly is very against like sort of like, the men do this, the women do the, you know, the gender norms that we've established.
Yeah. Freaking lions, so sexist, man.
Anything from my anyway. Brother.
But yeah, so essentially what happens is all of a sudden there are these white lions that are appearing and hunting and I couldn't quite understand what were they just going around and killing
Yeah, because he wanted to be the ultimate Lion King. Like, he was trying to be.
And they were just murdering all the other lions?
Yes. All the other kings.
Because they don't believe in the concept of the circle of life and unity. Like, so this was the thing that I kept, because it's hard to watch this movie in light of the Trump administration and what's currently going on without it. And so what the thing I could not escape was the sect of albino lions. Yes, they're white, but they were sort of against this concept of like the American dream. And they were like, the American dream is a lie that's being told to keep it to blah, blah, blah. But they're talking about the circle of life, which is which is different because, you know, it's about how everything's cyclical. Mm-hmm. But it felt like they were like, the American dream is bad. And we want, or the American dream is a lie. And I was like, I think I agree. It's just a thing being told to like to make you think that we all should get along to together. But what, you know, and I was just like, it's making me think of like, I've kind of side with these lines a little bit, because it is a lie to think that you all can work together in this way, because you don't. One of you is going to eat. One of you is going to eat the other person. That is true. You know, like that is a reality. And, you know, so I was struggling with this. It was giving me complicated feelings when thinking about, you know, the social political state of the world. So.
Yeah, I don't know if it's easy to map on.
It's not a direct, but I couldn't divorce my mind from thinking about that. Yeah.
James, just so you know, again, this is not a political podcast, but as we all know, America first.
Interesting.
All the lion wanted was all he.
As we all know, America first.
Isn't that the slogan? Ain't that the slogan? Did I make that up?
What slogan of what?
Isn't that his thing? America first. Did I make that up? That's his thing.
America first is a thing. Yes,
but I don't know if it's Trump's thing. Trump's thing is make America great again.
His thing is make America great again. But the resurgence of America first as an ideal has risen. Particularly in relation to...
I think that's an older slogan.
Yeah, it is an older slogan. And when you look at it, it's bad. All the stuff...
James,
about
you know what?
Bad.
I think you're right, bro. When I'm thinking about this movie, I'm looking at the cast right now. All the white lions are going around to all the other lions and killing off the golden brown or brown lions.
But this is why Bray says it's not a direct thing. Because
I'm looking at it.
No, because the white lions are also the outcast from there.
Oh, they outcast now. Oh, I'm supposed to. They done gone around and killed every
but
other lion.
But they are the minority. They're albino. They are the minority. They were kicked out because they're the minority. And they're like, and they're looking
this
at this
South
ideal.
African
they're
tale.
Looking at this ideal that's being spread around. This circle of life, America first bullshit, and they're going, hold on. They're going, hold on. This America
what
first
about
is,
us?
Is an idea. Yeah, what about us? What about us? What about us? Smaller
these
lions?
Lions had the same opportunity. All right, they had to, this lion walks up on.
No, they were kicked out of their prides
because they was
for
killing
being different for being they were
no,
kicked out of their prides
because they
different.
Were white.
That's right, they were being kicked out of the pride for being different, for being in the minority.
They said that in this movie. They said that kicked out for being white.
Yes, they did. Well, no,
for
no,
they say different, being, for being said, different
for being different. But
murderous.
But the idea is that. No, for being albino.
No, they become murderous afterwards.
Oh, so now we out here just defending the white lions. They
I'm
got kicked out.
In this case,
and now they
got
to kill everybody.
These white lions. In this case,
they got
defending the white lions.
James, they got kicked out. That didn't mean they had to go start killing all the other lions.
If you don't have, and this is the other thing that Scar says at the end, he's like, y'all don't have the resources because you're being pulled from all kind, you know, you don't have a land, you don't have a this. And so they needed the resources. They needed to kill to they just
Mufasa,
went the wrong path.
Mufasa ain't have a land. Mufasa.
What's
with Bray, hold on, Bray. Hold on,
okay.
Bray. I'm gonna let you.
I don't know
Mufasa
what's going
didn't
on.
Have a land, Bray. Mufasa was lost. Mufasa didn't know where to go.
But
Mufasa
he was brought in. He was
hold on, James. Mufasa was almost eaten, but all he ever did was turn the other cheek and tried. Okay, he tried. He tried. He tried. Okay, and you know what he did? He became the Lion King. Now the white lions.
No.
Okay. The white lions.
Wait, I think what Gerard's saying is right. I think what Gerard's saying is right. The people who are oppressed and outcast, they shouldn't turn to violence. They should think of...
Wait, no. That's not what I'm saying.
More like,
wait, no, that's not what I'm saying.
No, they should be peaceful.
No, I'm not saying that. No.
You know,
no,
what you're saying.
No.
They should not be... There should not be any aggression.
No.
They should...
I'm not saying
they
that.
Should be
and
like
you
Mufasa.
See how problematic this movie is? Because anytime
and become a brother.
Anytime you side with anybody...
They should
anybody.
Be like Uncle... They should be like Uncle Mufasa.
Don't you dare.
Don't Uncle Mufasa. Be an Uncle Mufasa.
Yo, don't you dare.
He's the brother.
Oh,
I'm done.
As I said,
I'm done.
You can't make comparisons because here's the other thing that's kind of crazy.
Isn't
when
I Uncle Mufasa.
I started thinking about it in this movie was like everybody like by the end of this movie every single person's a stray. You know what I mean? It was just like literally every lion. Like by the time this movie is done, like literally every lion has been removed from their family and their pride.
And everybody at Malele essentially is also like the thought is that like the dregs of society have all come to this place to cohabitate.
Yeah, it kind of like it was just like, oh, so this doesn't even matter anymore. Like the idea of like. You're an outsider like us. And it's like, no, you're all outsiders. Like literally everybody has been orphaned because of the killings, which maybe that's their point. It's like a world war metaphor or something. I don't know. Hmm. Anyway, Taka and Mufasa have to flee because the white lions, two white lions attack Mufasa and Queen Eshi.
Oh, yeah.
Queen Eshi. And Mufasa saves her, but Taka's there, and instead of helping, he just runs away.
You know what's so crazy? I thought he was going to get help at first. Like, I legit was like, oh,
did you?
I did. At first, I was like, oh, he's about to go get help. I mean, because I was like, that's what I thought. But until they were like, oh, he ran away, and I was like, oh, I guess he did.
Yeah.
My question was, when the queen saw him, it seemed like she was putting together that he had been there and ran away. But I don't remember them seeing each other or anything. But do you know what I mean? Like the look on her face.
Well, yeah, it was very like by that time it was like everybody knew and it was like, damn, how'd everybody know?
Yeah,
like who told anybody?
Nobody.
But then,
and then the dad's then, like, we got to keep this a secret. Nobody can know because you're the king. And then it was like, hold on.
Who told you?
Yeah, exactly.
Anywho. And so, but it kind of, none of that really mattered because Mufasa's like, no, they're coming. Like, they're almost here. And then they were like, oh, never mind. Forget all that stuff. You guys go. You got to keep the blood, Mufasa, you got to help him keep the bloodline alive, keep Taka safe.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll all stay here to die. I didn't quite understand that one.
Well, it's the toxic masculinity thing. They had to stay. I don't know why the mom had to stay and fight because isn't it the male's
job? Well, the entire pride.
Isn't it the male's job? Like in the actual science of lions?
Yes.
The male's job to protect the pride.
Right.
But anyway, they all stay behind because they have to fight. That's just what you know. Because even right after this, they're almost immediately pursued. And when they're backed up against the corner, I did think this was cool. I'm mad they didn't end up fighting. But when they're backed against the corner, Mufasa's just like, all right, let's attack the male, I guess. Like, go for the king.
Right.
I was like, oh, shit. They're going to just try to fight this king right here at the edge of a massive waterfall? I'm mad they didn't show that. That would have been cool.
Bro, when they were in the water and then that other lion jumped in after them, who was nameless, and he was just like, I'm going to do it.
Wow.
And he jumped in after, and he started coming. I was like, oh, snap. And then all of a sudden, he started coming, and then an alligator just sniped him out the water. I was like, bro, what?
That was cool.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was a good scene. That was a good scene.
And then they had to get out of there to run away from the other alligators. And they do. And so they make it. But then I couldn't believe how quickly they were getting chased by these white lions, man. They
like sort of right
murdered
away.
Their entire family
the
and then were
pride?
On them.
Like
immediately.
No scars, no nothing. It was just like,
yeah, damn, y'all didn't put up any resistance.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And so as they're running away, they run into what's her name? Well, Zazu and I forgot her name.
Sir, begins with an S. I don't know.
Yeah, this was cool.
I liked this.
I felt so bad for Scar. Because is this the song when it's like the song where he's singing about his love for her and they're like, not yet.
But, it happens very quickly. Also, but this is my thing, man. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be so honest. The reason I think this is also a tough part is I feel like if early on in this movie, we would have kind of known that, like, I don't know, Scar was a romantic or Scar wanted to like be king with his, if you had some type of build that made his obsession with this other lion so instant, because it wasn't like there were moments of her like talking to him or like saving him or even interact. And I do know dudes get like this, but I was like, it was just so quick. And to turn on a guy who you at this point, you have never even had a huge argument with. Like at this point, when she shows up, they haven't fought. All they've done is help each other. So it was like, it just felt like.
Yeah, but his dad was poisoning him the entire time.
I agree. So, yes. So I bought into just like the dad telling him that he's going to betray him one day was right. enough.
Exactly.
But I agree, Gerard, that like to me, this is why like Timon and Pumbaa are a problem, because if you just get rid of them, there's a few moments like this, like Scar turning. And then also like everybody at Malele deciding to side with Mufasa, like they just saw this lion. Like this lion just showed up and gave a speech and now they're on his side. Like this moment, and that moment
I don't understand that.
Moved so fast. And if we just didn't keep going back to Timon and Pumbaa, we would have had a little bit more time to explore just a little bit more of what that transition is, you know, so that it wouldn't just feel like immediate.
Now, you're talking about him falling in love with Sarabi, or
like why she matters so much to him? I think is what
why she
matters.
Yeah, and I guess it wasn't a problem for me because I kind of was like, yeah, I mean, she's the only girl. You know what I mean? Like he's just like, yeah, here's a new girl, and I like her. You know?
Yeah.
And and then he's like trying to talk to her. And she's like so cold to him. I don't quite understand why she's so cold to him. You know what I mean?
Like nothing happened. He's not mean to her. He's not a dick. Like
she's just kind of like, not you. It's not you. Sorry, you suck. Anyway, and I got the jealousy stuff like. Also, it was like insane that like Zazu was like another king who we didn't know. And also like Sarabi is like a princess from like some other land, and like some other lion king who we don't know was the one who thought of using Zazu as a scout, not Mufasa. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like, but then later on they like credit Mufasa for like using Zazu to like help cover the tracks, but I was like, well, I mean, it's like,
well, but because that was his idea, that was Mufasa's idea.
I know it was an idea, but it was just like, this bird is here because somebody else, not because of you. Anyway, it was kind of weird because I was just like, they kept trying to make it this thing like, oh, one of Mufasa's big thing is like he wants to talk to the other animals and like have us all like be in some weird harmony, even though lions have to eat meat.
Yeah.
Was that in the song, in that opening song, the opening song with Mufasa's dad and stuff? Because Mufasa is like almost immediately Taka being like, hey man, the birds are higher than us. They look down on us. They blah, blah, blah. And Taka's like, no, they don't. which made me think, because I wasn't, being perfectly honest, when this movie started, I was like, I don't think I care too much about this movie. So that first song didn't land as hard as I think
didn't
it could
register.
Have.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my thought, is that like these ideals at least were instilled in Mufasa. So then even later when what you're talking about happens, it's like, but he already kind of agrees that there's a harmony that needs to happen with other animals. I think, anyway. That was what I put together when I watched it.
There's a crazy scene where the white lions are almost on top of them, and Sarabi's idea is to knock down a beehive and cause an elephant stampede, which almost kills her.
They put Mufasa in another stampede.
I thought that was a dumb idea.
I thought that was a really bad idea. And Mufasa said it was dumb. And when she almost died, and she was like, well, we survived, still dumb. Still, like,
and it was like, you survived, but it wasn't because of the idea.
Yeah, that was a bad idea, bro.
Was it?
Well, so they did show us that Mufasa was trying to talk to the elephants and they were not listening. Before she even dropped the thing. So I think that's are supposed to think that this was the only way they were going to get out of this. I do think that, like, at least from the idea in the script was that she was right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they wanted us to think like this was the only way for it to happen. And like they did, you know, get out of it, but it was like they almost all died. Almost all of them had Taka not hid instantly, then he would have been gone, you know. Right. had Rafiki not jumped up in the trees, he would have been gone. You know, and Mufasa was in the trees, but
I gotta be honest, I don't even understand why the other white lions who weren't in that stampede just walked away, because if they just waited for that stampede to clear, they could have been like, all right, they down there. Let's go kill them, because now they're all knocked up. Because you know they got knocked around by these elephants, so now they're even easier to kill.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why they put Mufasa in another stampede though? Because I ain't like that.
It was traumatic.
I don't know, man. They doing this?
It was crazy.
Why?
Also, if this happened at one point, he's not going to forget that when he gets older. He's gonna be like,
well, he didn't.
Oh.
Well, he didn't. He knew the danger of a stampede.
Oh, true.
I mean, if anything, I guess it's trying to show like he knows about
this stuff. But a thing I truly despise about introducing a prequel or like a blah blah blah, you know, an alternate, is like when I'd said this before, but when you remove the teeth from another thing that we just saw, so like.
100%.
So, like, in the first Lion King, my man risks everything to save his son. I don't need him to have had this happen.
He's already survived the stampede.
Yeah, like what? Like, I don't need that. Like, in it made me think of, there was a couple points in this movie that made me think of this, but it makes me think of at the end of Black Widow. Okay, another prequel that is like, hey. This is actually what her story is. The end of Black Widow, she goes, I actually have two families. This woman dies because she has no family. You mean to tell me 2 years before she realized she had two families? and then chooses to kill herself because she has no... Why are y'all doing... Like, just take another second to... think about another way to tell the story.
Here's the thing. Has there ever been a good prequel?
Damn.
Oh.
The last 5 minutes of episode 3 are incredible. Oh, God. The last 5 minutes of episode 3, when all the dominoes fall into place, I was like, damn, they really did that. That was, I liked that.
That's a 2.5 hour movie.
There's got to be some good prequels. It's arguably 6 hours that end in 5 minutes that I really like.
Wait, there's got to be some good prequels. Hold on.
Yeah. Are you a big fan of The Hunger Games, Ballad of Songbirds.
I didn't even see those.
No. Oh, you know what I liked? I liked Cruella.
Oh, all right. Is Cruella's good?
It was actually pretty fun. Cruella was
all right. I guess that
Skylar said he liked Furiosa. Did y'all see that? I didn't see it.
Oh, I didn't like that, Skylar. I mean, it wasn't bad, but
it's weird. No, but Skylar's not in the minority on this. I think a lot of people did like it, but I did not like it.
You know
it.
What it is? I think the movie is very good. This is my thing. I think the movie is very good. I think Chris Hemsworth is very good. I think the thing that's not good about it is that Charlize Theron made
the prequel of stuff. No, I'm just
kidding. She made that. No, but she made the character so good.
Yeah.
And in no offense, I think the other actresses had a really tough, it's just tough. Like she's like smaller. She's not as tough as Charlize is just naturally. It just felt like if you're going to do a spinoff of this character, just figure out a way just to put Charlize as the damn character.
Low key, Charlize is actually pretty small as well.
Low key.
Charlize is like 6'3".
No, she's not.
Bro, I've met her. She's like 6'1". Dog, she's a giant.
She's wearing.
She's getting shorter but, every time you say her height, though, Gerard.
She's tall, bro. Look her up. She's taller right, than Tom Hardy.
She's 5'10".
No.
I knew that was coming. I just need to know. Because you went Anya from 6'3 to 6'1".
Anya Taylor-Joy is 5'8".
Bro, it's not she's that much taller shorter. Than Tom Hardy.
But they're both. But anyway, I didn't necessarily mean height. I meant in terms of like she's very skinny.
But see, this is my thing. I don't think the size of her. I think there's a toughness that she just displays.
There's a presence.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's just you're just even in Atomic Blonde.
Anya's tough though. You don't think so?
In what?
That New Mutants movie?
Furiosa.
New Mutants.
In what? Furiosa. That New Mutants movie. She was pretty tough in that.
Oh, Prey.
Oh, Prey.
Prey. Yes, 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 Gallup. Prey. I like Prey. I like Prey.
Okay, here's I gotta be honest with you. I think Prey is a great movie. I think one of the reasons if you want to count this as a sequel, one of the reasons this is a good prequel. One of the reasons it is a good prequel is because it's not a prequel. Like
right,
because
it's not
even
trying
if it's
to
set.
It's not trying to
even
set
if
up
it's
anything.
Technically. It's not setting up anything.
That's
like
true.
Even if it's technically set before, it's not like you know what I mean.
And I gotta say, with this too, I didn't need it to set up most of the things it set up. Like, I didn't need Pride Rock to be created. why do we see Pride Rock created? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Also, it was created by a random earthquake. What? Yeah. A random earthquake that happened while they were all there?
Yeah.
Not even just while they were all there. While they were in the middle of fighting for their lives. A freaking crazy earthquake happened?
Wait, was the new Alien? Was that a prequel or was that?
Yes. Now Prometheus is a real prequel.
Yeah.
Like Prometheus and then Covenant, I guess, is also, but it's like a anyway.
But the new Alien does
I didn't love Prometheus.
Yeah.
I liked the first I talked about this recently. The first 45 minutes of Prometheus, when I watched it again recently and I was like, wait a minute. This movie's incredible. Why did I think that I didn't like it?
Because at minute 46.
It just goes off the freaking rails. Anyway.
That's real.
Wait,
I meant
really
the new
like
one. The new one.
That
with
one
the young
is
people.
Also a that one is also a prequel and it's annoying.
Well,
It is
a prequel.
And it's annoying because they make I think we already talked about this on the pod, but they make the robot say, get away from her, you bitch, in a way that I'm just like, why? why does he say that? It's doing exactly the thing that I'm saying I don't like because it in a different way. They're just like, and also this robot said it 300 years prior. Like what? Like why? Why are we doing this? Okay, sorry. I'm
Alien Romulus was decent.
Yeah, the movie's fine.
But it is similar. It's similar with Predator, where it's like it's almost just like just another alien movie. There just happened to be for whatever reason setting it in this weird timeline where it's both a prequel and a sequel at the same time. You know what I mean? like it is. It's like a sequel to the Itla Prometheus and Alien Covenant and a prequel to Alien. Mm. It's a weird, it's weird. Anywho. Wow. How did we get to this? I'm sorry, guys.
It was me, but it's because of exactly this stuff. We talked about the earthquake.
Yeah. Let's skip. Because they're on a mountain and then they meet Rafiki, and Rafiki is not a baboon. They make that very clear many times during this film that Rafiki is not a baboon. He is a different kind of monkey that I forget the name of.
Bro, I don't even remember what part you're talking about. I remember them kicking him out and him being like...
I know, everybody's astray. Rafiki gets kicked out. You know, Mufasa left. Taka's becomes orphaned. Sarabi was orphaned. Like, all the white lions that are chasing them are all strays. Yeah. It was just like, it was this weird thing. It was just like, it almost didn't, like, everything canceled each other out. It, like, didn't, nothing mattered. Anyway, they're all looking for Malele. And then it also became this thing where I was like, why is Malele important again? Like, I forgot. But Rafiki has visions and claims, I don't know. He was saying a bunch of stuff. His brother's at Mulele. That was the big thing. My brother is at Mulele. And then they're like, have any of your dreams come true? And he's like, not a one.
we knew what this was setting up, though.
Yeah. And so they're on the top of this mountain. And Sarabi's like, I like you, Simba. I want to suck your dick. Oh, sorry.
she did say that, though. It was strange. It was like, this is a Disney movie.
What? but anyway, she's like, I like you, Simba. And he's like, no, you should be with Taka. And she's like, Taka ain't shit. Oh, I ain't going to curse
key,
because it's
low key. She did.
But that is what she was saying. She was low like, key, she ain't did. Nobody, no, ain't nobody thinking about Taka. And then Taka's mad. And then he like stumbles. And honestly, it was this weird thing where it was like he didn't even mean to find these white lions. He just falls and falls all the way down the mountain. And then he sees the white lions. And so it was this weird thing of like, well, the turn doesn't feel as earned because he also has to do this to talk his way out of being killed right then and there on the spot.
But they gave him the memory of... deceit is a king's highest tool or whatever. And I was like, you know what? There it is.
this is my thing. If he was doing it to save himself, I'm like, that's one thing. But my thing about it was the moment he fell, this was the switch I think Bray was talking about earlier, is that once he fell and he became Scar or whatever, his voice instantly got deeper. And I was like, changed. What? Because the thing is, he kept being like, he betrayed me. I'm like, he physically didn't. You heard him. We saw the same thing. Right. He was like, nah, it ain't me, sis. He kept saying it. Like,
yeah, he actually
But the monologue he had, you know, because they are off dancing together. It just was inevitable. It was inevitable we were going to get
inevitable.
Here.
I think neither of us was brother.
I think enough had happened to set up at least that he would switch. I don't disagree that like there wasn't, that there certainly could have been more, and this could have made more sense. But like we knew he was going, we just knew Scar was going to do something malevolent. So there it was,
and there it was,
and the fact that they and I also liked that the albino king was like, I lost a son, and then when they hugged. That was like so.
I liked it.
It was like so.
Yeah, do you want to be my?
It was so
son?
Evil. Yeah, it was.
Give me that
so
evil. Yeah, give me that evil.
But also, like, but it made sense. It made so much.
Give me
sense.
That. Give me
I
that
really
evil.
I really liked that moment.
And then he scraped the rock to show, yes. Like, this is how to follow us.
Just bad as hell.
Evil.
Just
evil.
An evil man.
Evil. Just pure evil. Evil.
So then they get to Malele, and then the white lions are there, and they're like, how could they have followed us? And then, you know, that guy eventually is like, yo, your boy Taka betrayed you. And so they start fighting. He talks to the animals and he's like, fight with us. And honestly, this was such an interesting, like, in terms of world politics, this is where I felt it the most, because it was like, so like, the people were like, all the animals were like, this isn't our fight. Like, why should we care about your fight? And then he was like, yes. And he basically did that whole, like, the Nazis thing of like, first they're coming for us, but then they're going to come for you, you know, kind of thing. And they were like, okay, interesting. And he's like, also, like, we all share with this and we should all, like, be together. And it was like very like kumbaya, but also like, let's all fight together. And then I was like, so are the white lions Russians, or what are we, like, where are we, you know? Like, anyway,
look, they were they checked a lot of boxes, these white lions. Okay. The white lions checked a lot of boxes, I think.
Yeah, they definitely did. They covered a lot. And then there was this epic fight, and honestly, Mufasa's getting his butt whooped. And then Taka decides, like, he doesn't want Mufasa to die.
Why?
So he, like,
why?
Even though that's what they agreed upon, that is what they agreed upon.
It wasn't like Mufasa, whatever, it's fine.
But just like in the moment, then he hears his mom say, like, you will find your moment of courage. And I was like, wait, what? And then he was like, okay, here's my moment of courage. And so he dives and, like, takes the hit and gets his eyes scarred. And that's how we know him. And then they fight again. And then honestly, Mufasa probably still would have lost. But then there was an earthquake that threw them into a freaking deep ravine. And Mufasa is able to kick off the other thing while the rock is coming down and kills this lion. And then as he's bubbling up, Taka grabs him again with the claw thing, and he could kill him. And then he decides to bring it back up and save his life. And so you're like, great, that's
why
redemption.
I don't know why any of this happened. I don't know why.
Well, that's redemption, and that's redeemed. And then so,
but technically,
no, I was like,
the lion,
all right,
we know,
great,
the lion can swim. So did Taka save his life?
Also, I mean, Mufasa couldn't swim, but the entire movie he could swim.
Yeah, like the whole time he was swimming in that scene.
Like he never didn't swim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was always swimming.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought it was that he was like afraid of water.
He was afraid of the water, but he also kept saying he couldn't swim.
He literally just fought a lion in the water.
In the water, yeah, and won.
Right, and I thought that fear stemming from what happened to him when he was a kid? That's what I thought it was. I thought it was just that.
Did it go away because his mom was there and he realized his mom was still alive?
But he hadn't met her yet, right?
Nah, he didn't know she was there yet. He didn't know until the end of the scene.
Oh, he didn't know until the very end.
Anything for his mother.
In my honestly, I felt like, hey, Taka felt bad. He took a hit for you. And he pulls you up out of this water. I think we good now. But then Mufasa was still mad, and he was like, I can't even speak your name anymore.
And then call me Scar? Why the fuck would you suggest?
And
Taka was like,
then call me Scar.
Why? Why would you suggest that, bro?
So that he don't forget what he did this day.
Why would he suggest
you
that?
You mean he saved the king that day? Is that what you want me to forget?
Yeah, but he also is the reason that the king was in mortal danger.
He was going to get eaten.
Kind of. I mean, these people were chasing them throughout the entire continent of Africa because of Simba.
But they would have gotten, they would have gotten out. Wait, is that why?
Yeah, they said
because Simba killed his son.
He literally said at one point, we only want Simba.
But he had to. Wait a minute. He had to kill his son.
I'm not saying what Simba did was wrong.
They wrote him
in there. I'm not saying what Simba did was wrong.
We talk about fault.
I'm not saying what Simba did was wrong.
He
only wanted Simba, though. He only wanted Simba, though. That's all I'm saying.
No, I get it. No, we can't be able to. How y'all don't think?
I'm just saying.
All right. Nah, the lions did it to themselves. The lions did it to themselves.
Anyway. All right. I mean, that's the end of the movie. You are the Lion King.
Honestly,
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I'm so mad when he was when Mufasa was roaring on Pride Rock. Why I feel something? I'm so mad.
Did
why
you?
Did I sure did. And then they intercut
they
with the little
gotcha.
With the intercut with the little baby roaring too. I was just like, oh,
gotcha.
I was so mad they had me feeling anything, but. Virtually every time there was like a soft moment like that, they got me. They got me every single time. And I'm just mad that Disney was able to do this to me. I'm upset. I didn't want to see the movie in the first place. Anyway, here we are.
Well, we did it. We watched it so y'all didn't have to.
But, you know, if you want to watch it.
I mean, it's pretty, it's all right.
It's not bad. Not bad.
I mean, no, it is not bad. You're right. It is not a bad movie.
If somebody on the internet wants to do this, can you do a cut that removes Timon and Pumbaa from the middle? They can be at the beginning and they can be at the end. Can somebody on the internet do a cut that removes them from the middle? I just think it's going to move faster. I think it's going to...
I agree. I didn't need it. I also, like, once when Kiara meets her, like... baby brother
Yo,
or whoever
the cycle continues
she Bro. Immediately starts telling this story
oh,
and I was like
God.
Why I was like this is the story you're gonna start telling me why
makes no sense
the Tell cycle Simba's continues story. I don't feel good about her having a little brother I don't feel good about this at all it doesn't make me feel like it doesn't make me feel any level of hope why would they end the movie like this Why?
Also, the end of this movie doesn't really make sense because where Scar is at the beginning of The Lion King and where Scar is at the end of Mufasa the Lion King is like completely different places.
Yep. 100% makes no sense. But you know what? He gets to make a movie with Zendaya. So I'm cool with it.
Oh, okay.
They are brothers. He says, Scar, brother, help me. But the Scar we just saw ain't helping you. We know he not... We know he not helping you.
It's just that they were so obviously blood
we
brothers.
We know that you don't believe in blood. Right. Yes, exactly. You don't believe. You now don't believe that blood is the thing that makes you king. So just the most important tenets of the first Lion King
yeah.
are undone with this movie in a way that's just like. I hope y'all happy with the 750 mil, you know? I mean and what
they
even...
Are, they are.
Well,
they
but what even is money. The profit of that? The profit is, oh, I guess maybe five. Well, no,
I think it still was profit. I think it still probably was profited. Probably, they probably made like 250, 300 mil off of it.
I mean, I think the prophet Muhammad would have like, wait, what?
Talking about the movie, right? I think they probably made, if the movie cost $200 to make... Even if they spent like another 100.
We done talking about this.
They made enough money is the point. Jeez me Christmas.
I'm logging off. I don't want to talk about this no more. I give it one black paw print.
It's time for the cause.
I give it one black paw print.
I don't know what that means. We rate the movie not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. If it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. Someone helped the cause, a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for Mufasa, the Lion King. One, two, three. Three black fists.
Yeah, I mean, I had to get it.
I mean, made
because that's Mufasa. Aaron, so Pierre, that's Mufasa.
Aaron, Pierre,
that's Mufasa.
I will say this. Aaron. Okay, this is my thing. I will never hate on the British actor, but I was laughing because I'm like, if an American nigga danced the way that he danced coming down that hallway, he'd be getting cooked up all over the internet. But because this man is British and handsome as hell, we were like, oh, look how cute that is. Look at him trying. Look at him. That's literally what the energy was. Look at that fine man trying. Let Michael B. would have walked down that joint, did that dance. They were like, look at this corny ass.
Truthfully, absolutely. I got more excited for Green Lantern after this. I got more. Yeah, I was honestly, like, okay, I can't wait for that. Like, I'm on board. I'm excited for this, for whatever else this guy does. So.
You mean, who you mean? You mean Aaron Pierre?
I mean, yes. I mean Mufasa. Aaron Pierre. That's
yo, you know what it is? The move is the move that makes you laugh is the hand. Like when you can't like what is it? Oh God, it's so good. Don't let me get on. I'm about to be out here in a fucking three-piece suit.
Don't let me get on.
All right.
Don't fuck around and put me on because it's gonna be
hey Gerard. They really are trying to not let you get up.
No, listen, they are, right?
I mean, they're actively trying.
Ray,
to
they
not
try. Like... Ray, they hating on me, Ray. They hating on me, Ray. You see it?
You don't have to tell them.
They're, come on,
they're doing everything they can, man. They're like, I don't give a crap what you do.
Oh man.
Oh God. Why?
Wait, we gotta get off the pot. But can I have an intervention real quick? Can we talk about this in terms of trying to make it in society?
Oh no. Oh no.
So I've quit.
This is public,
right?
By the way.
I know. I've quit improv, right? Oh no, I ain't gonna talk about this. This is a very it's an actual intervention about me.
You're doing your own intervention?
Yes, I've
and here's the thing. You say you quit improv, but you have said that like so many times before and have come back and
it's
done
improv.
It's been
4 years
so
to be exact.
It hasn't been four years? Two?
It's been 2021.
It's been two.
At least two. And here's the
because I quit.
At least two.
I quit. Yeah, I think two. I think it's been exactly, almost exactly two.
It's
maybe
been
to
at least
day,
since 2022 because it was before I filmed Sherlock Homies.
Is that true?
It was because that's when we stopped doing the show.
I've been publicly retired.
Yeah, you did say with Black of the Movies that you.
Okay, yeah, that I was done. But I've been publicly retired for 2 years.
Okay. And you've done many improv shows during this public retirement. Okay, continue.
Okay, but like the industry, you know, to Bray's point that the industry is actively trying to not let us make it.
Yeah.
Should I keep doing improv shows? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Well, to me, it's always been about, are you having fun? And you told us that you were
not having fun
doing it.
I'm not having fun.
And I don't. I'm not. I don't think if you're not having fun that you don't have to do it.
Okay.
I don't understand it because when I see you do improv, it seems like you're having
fun. The audience laughs.
I laugh, sure. I'm laughing.
Yeah, sure. You're laughing. You're smiling. It seems like you're having a good time.
But I'm always doing that. I'm never not doing that.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's
you're sad. Okay, all right. You're sad clown.
But to your. Okay. All right. So if I'm having fun, do it. If you're having fun, but if you're not doing it, don't. If you're not having fun, don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why are you asking? Should you do improv?
Because I think it's a part of the grind. I mean, I know that I'm not going to book something from doing an improv show, but I do think that it is a part of the grind. I mean, people can and do
I mean,
book
yes,
things from improv
it
shows.
Could, it can be considered a part of the grind, but I think we also know that it is the likelihood of anything coming out of
but you meet
the
people.
Improv scene. Is
but some people
no,
do.
You do
people,
meet people.
People do.
You do meet people.
And then
I mean, that's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm still, sorry. That's not the only reason I'm doing it. I am also having fun.
Yeah,
but
no, clearly.
I mean, a part of why I wanted to go on Herald was so that I could meet people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, has that led to anything? I don't know.
Maybe,
I don't think so.
but you don't think so. Because you know what I mean? It's not quite quantifiable.
So.
You know, you don't always know.
It's not.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
All
right.
Well, I appreciate this intervention. I thank y'all for that. For doing
I mean, listen, I think you
I think
should
our
do
audience whatever. Likes this.
Yeah,
I think
they this is for them.
Well, no, I think it does. I think sometimes people tell me, like, we don't talk about our experiences as much. We're like, we're in it. And I'm like, that is a true experience. I don't like improv. I hate improv for a long time. It's too Caucasian.
You do?
We've talked about this. I've hated improv for so long.
I'm just surprised.
Well, you hate the institution of improv.
Yeah.
Right?
Because my thing about it is, it feels so.
But do you like doing
like
it
on,
with us?
Yeah. I mean, you guys. I like being on stage. Yeah. But my thing is like, when I got to deal with UCB and then like, you know, trying to do like college humor and drop out, it just feels like I'm not Caucasian enough.
But
to,
that, but
to
don't,
pass.
I don't like that. I don't like, I don't like that period. I wouldn't like that anyway. But it does like, but the act of doing improv can be fun, but it's usually not.
I get that. I do get that, though. I do get that. It's just at this point, I'm like, what else can you do? I think the issue that happens with people, this is a Hollywood thing. I think the issue that happens a lot of times is that when it came to comedy, like boomers, Gen Z, I
I'm sorry, Gen X was popping. It was legit popping. And then the Gen Xers.
Sure was. Yeah,
and the Gen Xers refused to put, either get out the way or put other people on. So it skipped. And now that those Gen Xers are almost 50 or in their 50s, it jumped from.
They're still leading.
They're still leading. But now millennials are too old to do the parts that the Gen Xers should get away from. So it skipped down to Gen Zers. So there was like, it's almost like no place to go unless you're in that middle ground. Because people think Issa and them are our age, but they are technically Gen X.
I will even say that, well, I mean, I guess like, yeah, like Alana and Abby are millennials. Like there are a few millennials, but
they haven't made a show. That show been off for like, what, how many years now?
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Alana made the movie, but it was a small movie. Yeah. We reviewed it. Babes, check. It was called Babes, right? Check it out. But I mean, this is a larger thing that we've talked about before. But it's like the stars, like the A-list comedy stars are still super old. And even the young people who are coming in are still not considered A-list comedy stars, you know? And that's the thing that's insane, that we haven't had a new, and that is not, that was not the case when they were young.
Agreed.
At all.
Yeah.
They were all in their 20s.
Agreed.
Starring in films. Like, and by the time, or at least early 30s. And by the time we started coming up, that stopped. And they stopped making A-list comedy stars. And the idea that it's like that people aren't that funny anymore is obviously ridiculous. Right?
Yeah, because
it's insane.
Because so many people are funny now. I mean, that's what TikTok is. Right?
If anything, there's probably more, you know, but anyway,
I do think movies, so, I have seen like five friends audition for like what feels to me to be early 2000s, 2010-esque comedies. I think that in each one of those movies, though, is two things that are happening. It is a Gen Xer and it is a Gen Zer, though. Like there's no in between. So it's like it is literally a Gen Zer trying to steal something back from a Gen Xer, or a Gen Zer getting lost with a Gen Xer. It is literally a gap missing in all five of those movies. Which is just something that I noticed with those five. And they're big comedies. They will be big comedies.
Well, again, I think part of the reason for this is that the A-list stars have to be in the movies. And those are all older.
Agreed.
And I think it's less that, like, what age we want. It's just like, you know, and then they're like, young people still have to be young people, you know. But I think it's going to happen to Gen Z too. Yeah. At a certain amount of time, they're going to go.
It certainly will. In a few years.
And then it'll be like some other generation. And then it'll be, still be like, it'll be like 70-year-old freaking Will Ferrell starring in movies. Will Ferrell is very funny. This is nothing against them.
Right.
It's just like, it is insane.
Yeah.
That's still, it just was never like this. Anyway. you know, Billy Crystal is not starring in comedy film. Like by the time we graduated high school, people were like, we're done with Billy Crystal. He's great. We're done with him.
Yeah.
We do not want to see him be the lead of a movie anymore. That is no longer the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, was this an intervention or a conversation to get me to stop? Because it
started as an intervention and then transitioned. And I appreciate the transition, but you shouldn't stop, right?
Listen, I'm tired.
Okay. Here is what we are going to do, which is tell people that they could go to blackwoodpodcast.com.
Smart.
That's our website. You can find links to our Patreon and Red Circle. We have bonus content. Every other week, we do episodes on Patreon and Red Circle. We just reviewed The Woman in the Yard. We've reviewed films like Lilies of the Field with Ben Arigundade and Brown Sugar. Anyway, check that out. So many things up there already that you can listen to. It's only $5 a month. Helps keep this podcast free. Speaking of improv, we're still doing Cage Match. Now, it's like once every several weeks. That
I don't know what's happening.
But our next one isn't until April. It's now on a Wednesday.
James, you coming?
Wednesday, on, April 16th at 10 p.m. Keisha said she's going to be there.
I know. Keisha's coming.
You got to do it because Keisha's going to come.
Come on, James.
Wednesday, April 16th. We are 8-0.
Yeah.
You know,
8-0. I missed the last three shows.
I don't know, man.
Something like that. I was at the first five. Yeah, I missed the last three.
Yeah.
I was at the first five. Yeah.
Low key, I've been all.
You have been. Sure you've have. Been all. I was out of town for a couple of two.
That's that anchor energy. That's that anchor facts. Energy, cuz.
Facts.
So check that out. I'm on a new Herald team. We don't have a name yet. This is she got broken up, sadly. So anyway, when I know about that, I'll let you guys know. But I will be on Herald Night again. So that's cool. What you guys got? You want to promote anything?
Follow me at Rule of Three Inc. I think when this is out, I still have a Kickstarter going on. It extended to April 15th. So we met the goal. So this is literally if you want to buy my comic, contribute. So please, it's fun. It's a fun one. It's the third issue. It's the first new stuff I'm writing for this story because this was adapted from a pilot that I wrote a couple years ago. And so now issue three is the first kind of foray into like what is next. There's a lot of stuff happening in it. It's an anthology, fun little dark comedy set in the afterlife. So if you are interested, I think the lowest comic you could get for issue three is $10. But all the issues are available. One and two are $5. And so, yeah. So ruleofthreeinc.com, junior number three on Kickstarter. And if you can, you know, watch Fairly Odd Parents. We are on Paramount Plus. Thank you.
Incredible. All right. Well, that is all. Thank you all for listening. We will see you in 2 weeks. Peace.